For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with an hour pack full of non-league football talk. Who said this time of season was quiet? Without further ado, I will introduce my co-host for this evening. He donned the manager's outfit again at the end of the season at Chertsey Town, and he did a very good job too. Good evening, Mr. Dave Anderson.
Good evening, Tim.
Well, you know, we've got lots to get through tonight. It's late, we're tired, but I've got to mention that five-game unbeaten run for Chertsey at the end of the season. Championship form, isn't it?
Yeah. To be fair, you know, I have to say, Tim, that the lads, I know it's the old saying, the lads done great, but the players were excellent. I really enjoyed the sort of short period we had. You know, they listened, they worked, they showed a great togetherness for a team that was just chucked together. And yeah, you know, five unbeaten, I think we'd 17 points from the nine league games, considering we get smashed in the first one, 5-1, but, you know, sort of 3 or 4 days in. But, yeah, really good, really pleased. And, you know, it's raised everyone's expectations for next season, but that's what we all want.
Yeah, and, I mean, what are the expectations now for next season?
Listen, we want to be up at the other end of the table. I'm not going to come on here and say, yeah, we're here to win it, but we're certainly here to try and win it or try and compete at the other end of the table. And like every other team at the level, I'd like a nice FA Vase run. But you don't always get what you want. But that's what the aims would be, is to be fighting for promotion and have a reasonable, if not a very good Vase run.
And to be a manager in a job at this time of season, it's quite a rare feat anyway. We've got lots to talk about in the news, but about management.
Yeah, it's been really strange with, you know, obviously the FC United one. I nearly fell off my seat when I read it. Well, who knows what's happened there, but you'd have to say it's got to be down to contract talks, I'm guessing. Totally guessing. Just, why do you get rid of your management team who've just won you the league title and got you, was it 2 or 3 promotions in maybe 4 years, 5 years, something like that? So, yeah, really, really strange, you know. And someone said to me today that there's been a change, that Tony Berman's left Dartford as well.
Yeah, Tony Berman have been there 14 years in charge, but his team of Paul Sawyer and Steve Mosley, they've gone as well. Now, they did miss out in the playoffs. They finished second only to Havant and Waterlooville, missing out on that promotion spot on goal difference. So, I mean, that's always going to be hard to take. And then they lose 1-0 in the semi-final. Do you think maybe they might have taken a bit more time and thought about it? Is it perhaps a bit too reactionary? Because, I mean, that's got to hurt, that to lose out on that promotion and then lose out in the playoffs. But or do you think Tony's just gone as far as he thinks he can take Dartford?
I don't know. And maybe we'll try and get him on. He he's a quiet man, Tony, you know. And you know, I've come up against him a few times, found him quiet but sort of nice guy. I don't know. I can't imagine that someone with Tony's experience and his team's experience would make a sort of decision on a whim or on an emotional surge. I think they're much too experienced for that. I don't know. Maybe they had a pact. Maybe they all thought it was time for a change. You know, it's a little bit like Drax at Staines, you know, sort of saying we're out of here. I don't know. It's sort of, you know, I think I said on Twitter during the week, they say you should never be shocked in football, but I've been shocked a couple of times this week, you know.
Well, there's certainly plenty of managers out there. So any clubs that haven't got a manager at this time of the season, it's going to be plenty of interviews taking place, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks as people try and get people on board. And there's plenty of talent there, isn't there?
Oh, there is, and oddly enough, you know, I spoke to Julian Dix this week, who's looking to get back in at our level, and I think we'll maybe have Dixie on next week, although I'm away, I'm golfing in Spain for my hard work at the end of the season, but when you've got people like Julian Dix, whose last job was assistant manager, first team coach at West Ham in the Premiership, you sort of think, wow, you know, what sort of, yeah, there'll be queues of people trying to get in. Woking job, there's Woking, Leatherhead, Dartford, Salford, you know, you can go on, you know, and lots of people out there sort of trying to get them. Tooting and Mitcham, you know, although that's a little bit more.
Yeah, Frank Wilson's departed there after their relegation, so maybe that's a bit more understandable.
It is, yeah, I would say so, and, you know, with Frank. But lots of jobs out there at all different levels, and listen, there's never. I just read that Woking, for an example, it's on like 115 applications for their job, and they didn't even advertise it. Yeah, there's lots of people keen to get on the ladder or get back into the job and prove that they can do it.
And obviously, just before we came on air today, we had the reorganised league allocations come out from the FA. Now, fair play to the FA. We had Nick Robinson on last week as he was frantically trying to combine his various chairman roles and committee roles and watching playoff finals. But he did promise that the FA would have these allocations out by the end of this week. And they came out Thursday evening. Some interesting bits. Not had really long to digest, but, you know, something that I've noticed. You've got two clubs that you know a lot about, Hendon and Harrow, have been moved into the Southern League from the Isthmian League.
Yes, and you know, for Harrow, I think, it, you know, certainly, well, I've managed both teams. That's a real change for them. And you look at what Gary McCann again has done, getting beat on penalty kicks by Dulwich, you know, like a hair's breadth away from promotion. Now he has to change divisions. How much will, I mean, he knows his stuff, guys, but has to learn that division. Steve Baker had a great second half of the season at Harrow, and now has to look at a whole different league. And it's not just about the different teams and in the journeys. It's about recruitment now as well, that players who you sign when you're in the Isthmian Premier, you can sign for different areas when you look at the travel involved. Do you know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden, they're going the other way. I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked at the leagues in great detail, Tim. The short flick over them that we've had, I have to say they look reasonable. It looks as if they've done a reasonable job.
I think, I mean, we did mention to Nick last week that the fact that the FA sort of put those proposals out there, was it the end of February, March, sometime, you know, earlier on in the season, so people had the chance to digest some of the, you know, more controversial issues. It means that actually now it's come out. Yeah, there's a couple of little quirks, and, you know, there'll always be arguments for some sort of thing, but I can't see too many clubs looking to appeal. I think, you know, there's 7 days that they can appeal to the FA if they think the allocation's wrong, and then that's why the FA have tried to announce it so early, so that clubs can get that out of the way, and that then everything can be settled in a good time. But it doesn't actually seem, you know, too much that you can debate on. You know, there's always a pub argument as to, you know, someone like Hereford, when we had Peter Beadle on recently, and, you know, he's come from the Southern League, and now they've been put in the National North. So, you know, when you're saying about players recruiting, you know, how many of his players from that championship winning team in the Southern League, where they're playing, you know, clubs like Weymouth on a Tuesday evening, are now actually going to be able to make Tuesday evening games in the far north of the country. So, yeah, maybe they might feel a little hard done by, but it was something that they'd already prepared for, you know.
Yeah, and I don't think, Tim, you're ever going to keep everyone happy. You know, it's an impossible job. That, you know me, listen, if I think that they're at fault, I'll say, but I genuinely think that it's an impossible job to please everyone. And I think, looking at it as an outsider looking in, it looks like they've done a reasonable job.
It's like being a referee, isn't it? You can...
No, don't ever refer me to that's the one thing that I, you know, I came away, I was sitting in the the bar after our first couple of games, talking to my staff, just having a beer. And I went, do you know, I thought I'd fallen out of love with football. I'd actually just fallen out of love with officials.
Were you ever in love with officials?
No. And I know they do their best, but don't get me started. Anyway, don't refer to me as a referee, but go on, carry on with your...
Well, no, I was just saying, actually, the FA have done a very good job and we should applaud them. And, you know, I'm sure there will be some debate and we'll cover that in the coming shows. But at first glance, as you say, it all looks pretty well organised and pretty good. And, I'm looking forward to a season back in the Isthmian League with Hazen Yedding United.
Yeah, so,
and a few local derbies there as well.
Yep, it's... It's something that, and I think maybe it'll be something when we speak about Gary McCann, you know, because he's local to me and I know him and the club. Maybe that's what Gary will need. He's been at the club for a long time. Maybe that will sort of help him get over the disappointment of getting beaten in the playoffs again on would have to be said not a massive budget. You know, he's done a great job again.
Well, I did send him a message earlier on in the day as soon as it came out and said, well, he actually got the league that I wanted our lot to play in if they got promoted. Because, I mean, they're all local for me. I mean, Hendon have got trips to Weymouth and Gosport, Dorchester Town. I might have to start charging him some rent to kip over at my place, maybe. I don't know.
To be fair, it might make my job easy of signing players when I... If I'm going into that level and saying, well, do you fancy a sort of 20-minute away trip for Chertsey, or do you fancy going to Poole Town or, you know, Tiverton on a Tuesday night? But I still think it's interesting. But it's interesting from an outside point of view because we don't have to do the journeys, Tim, you know.
Yeah. One other thing that we wanted to mention was the sad demise of another club. Jarrow Roofing have folded after 35 years as a club. They truly have progressed as the sort of non-league dream from Sunday football to the Northern League. Richie McLaughlin, the chairman, announcing with great sadness that the past season will be their last. We spoke to Jarrow early on the season, and it is a great story, but it's another club perhaps struggling for volunteers, money. We've got more Step 5 clubs coming up into Step 4 next season, more than ever before. Is there a risk that they won't all be able to make the leap and it'll just make more clubs struggle even more?
Yeah, I think there is. It is sort of sad news. It's one of them names, you know, Jarrow Roofing. I loved it. I thought it was good. The story was good. So it's sad that they've had the fold. And I do think it is a genuine fear for teams, not just at level five, at any level outstretching. You know, we've seen it, you know, well, I wouldn't say a million times, but how many times are we talking about teams, you know, Russian and Diamonds comes to mind, you know, who've sort of stretched a bit further than they should. Big Sage, Kettering, and then all of a sudden the sort of walls cave in. So I think it's something that people should be wary of at all times, you know. In saying that, you know, I'm trying to progress Chertsey sort of up a division or so. But again, that you can't spend what you haven't got. You can't bring in volunteers are massive, you know that, Tim, in non-league football. And if there is a lack of them, the place doesn't function.
Yeah, and I always bang the drum. If we have all these stories where we hear about clubs that, you know, that they're struggling for financially, but that's only, you know, probably a small percentage, probably not even 10% of the clubs that actually are struggling. That you know, the others are just, you know, concentrating on making sure that they can pay the bills or struggling or not putting their heads above the parapet. But if you gave your club an hour a week of your time for free, it would help free up so many more resources for that club and help those clubs survive. It is so vital. Volunteers, you know, an extra £10 here and there just goes towards so many things that just helps take the stress off the few people that are running the football clubs.
And it does, and I've seen it like at first hand that in recent weeks at Churchy, you know, and there's been a load of volunteers, and all sort of doing a job to make my job easier, and it's visible, you know. I thank them all at the end of the season for it, because it is a thankless task, and I know, you know, sitting in a dugout when it isn't going well can be thankless, but I get paid for what I do. They offer up their time for nothing, you know, that they would do anything for you. And I'm not just saying to people at Churchy, I use them as an example, but at all clubs, you know, at all clubs have worked that when you've asked volunteers, like, can you do this or can I get that? They bend over backwards to help you.
Okay, now some call it the biggest game in non-league football. The prize of that second promotion place to the Football League is definitely lucrative. The National League's big day out playoff final is this Saturday at Wembley. So how do you prepare for such a game with a week's notice after a semi-final and all that after a long, hard season? Let's ask one manager who is preparing his team for Saturday's match, Tranmere Rovers boss and old friend of the show, Mickey Mellon. Good evening, Mickey.
Hiya, good evening. How are you?
Well, we're good. How are your preparations going?
Yeah, they're going well. We, like you just said, they were for the week now to get everything planned. So we've got the lads nice and focused and hopefully got in the right place for when we travel down tomorrow.
And you say you're travelling down tomorrow, so that's Friday. Do you prepare any differently for this sort of game? You know, a big game at Wembley, big stage, big pitch. Possibly rain. How do you make sure that you get big performances out of your squad as well?
Well, we've just got to try and concentrate on what got us to this situation. You've got to focus on the jobs that we've done in order to get us into this position. So we focus on that, really. We won't change anything, really. We just will make sure that mentality is right. We know the environment because the vast majority of the group came away as last season, so we're looking forward to getting it on now.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the disappointment of last season, but this season, second place over the season, but you were 10 points off Macclesfield in the end. Does that gap help mentally when you're getting players up for the playoffs, that you weren't sort of nearly there? You were the second best, so you deserved to be there, but you didn't just miss out.
No, I think it was tight until a stage where fair play to Macclesfield, they kept winning. We were 4 points behind them, and then we knew then that we were safe and secure in second position. So we played the young lads really in the last few games. So probably that's the reason why the gap became what it was. But no, it was nip and tuck for a long, long time. But then we tried to use our experience and knowing that we had secured second place. So it was all about getting the lads best prepared for the playoff semi-final then, and thankfully that's the way it worked out.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Mickey, I mean, I'm sort of interested in the mind games, you know, that happen in these situations. You're going to be massive favourites for it. It's nearly a David and Goliath situation. How do you address that with the guys? Do you keep it away from them? How do you deal with the fact that you get into the game, you know, with massive support coming down to support you, and fully expecting, and probably most of football expecting you to win it?
I think what you've got to remember is there's still got to be a performance done. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we will do that we haven't done already. So we know the levels of performance and the tempo of the way that we have to play in order to try and get something. We completely respect the opposition. They're a good side in their own right. We know that we've got to beat our best in order to try and get something, regardless of the size of our football club or the expectation it's on us. We'll just concentrate on making sure that we put a performance in, because that's what we need to do in order to try and get a result.
And the experience that you've mentioned within your squad, sort of going into occasions like this, you know, I would say is a big plus. You know, your players will know what to expect and know how to deal with the big occasion. That certainly has to be a plus for you.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think me me personally, I probably underestimated that last year a little bit in the Forest Green game. Forest Green had done it the year before, and the way that they approached the game and played in the game, I think you would have said that was definitely a factor in where the two teams performed on the day. So hopefully we can go there knowing the environment, knowing that what we're going to go into, and all we have to focus on is our performance on the pitch, and we don't get carried away with the surroundings that no doubt that Wembley does to people, because it is such a fantastic stage and such a big day out for all the players that haven't done it before. We won't have to really worry too much about that, because probably 9-10 of the players are still here from last season.
And just last one from me, Mickey. Again, on the management side, if I get into it, you'll have done your homework on the opposition, because that's part of your job. But when you are the favourite getting into it, and I would feel if I'm in your dressing room, I feel like I'm going to win the football match. What's the percent? Do you deal more with what you're going to do?
No, you've got to take in consideration everything. We have a process of preparation for games, without trying to sound too clever, but we have a process that we go through on what we believe we need to be good at to consider the opposition, and then what we need to be good at ourselves to stop or cause them problems. So we do that every week. So the preparation's really been no different to what we would do if we're playing against anybody. It's a process that has worked for us in the past. On the analysis is what we've done for many years now. So it's no different. Just because it's a playoff final, we've just gone through the same process, really.
No, Britton, listen, I'm done, but I just wanted to wish you all the best. I'm genuinely rooting for you, Mickey. I mean that. Good luck to you.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you.
Thank you, Mickey. Wish you well at the weekend. How many people are coming down for the game, do you know?
I don't know. We'll have a good support, because the thing about Tranmere is they have support all over the country. So you never know on the day how many's going to turn up. But we'll have a fantastic support who will get right behind us, and it'll make for a great occasion, because that's really what it's about. It's about putting on a good game to represent the league, which is such a fantastic league, such a massive challenge to get to this stage. So you want to make sure you do that justice on the day.
I'm sure you will, and we wish you well with it, and hope to speak to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, and always good to speak to you guys.
Dave, Mickey is always calm. Do you think he's one of those that tips over to teacups at halftime?
Well, listen, you know, his accent tells me he's got a fire in there somewhere, you know, that Celt. And he's an experienced football manager. And if you're a player and you're listening to your football manager being interviewed, you want him to sound calm and as if he's got everything in order. And that's exactly how he sounded every time we spoke to him. And, you know, no surprise that they've had a successful season. And, you know, listen, I'm not sitting on the fence. I hope they win.
Now, taking on Tranmere Rovers in that biggest game of non-league football, Boreham Wood, perhaps not everybody's tip for the playoffs at the start of the season, but a solid fourth-place finish, just 7 points behind Tranmere, put them rightfully there. And then last weekend, they went to Sutton United and beat them 3-2. So this Saturday at Wembley, is this the biggest game in the club's history? Chairman at Boreham Wood, Danny Hunter?
Without a doubt. You know, it dwarfs everything we've ever done, and probably it will dwarf anything we're probably liable to ever do. Because you know, it's bizarre, really. We're 90 minutes away from, possibly being a Football League side.
And what does that mean to you? Is that, you know, I remember, however many years ago, and we probably neither of us want to remember this, when I was involved, well, still involved with the Edding, but back in the Edding days, coming into the Boreham Woods boardroom, and you had these big whiteboards up with plans on how you were going to redevelop the club. And, you know, and we used to go to many a boardroom and see, you know, big posters up, and this was going to happen, that was going to happen. But there was something about your plans that it was going to happen. And it's been a long time, you know, a lot of blood, sweat and tears. But, I mean, what does it mean to actually see that dream? Well, it's come together so well already, but, you know, 90 minutes away from potentially the Football League.
Yeah, it's been a labour of love, really, for 19 years. I mean, as you said, I mean, you know, you often hear about the you know, the fans always laugh, don't they, at the five-year plans. I mean, I didn't have a five-year plan. I just had a plan to take small steps and try and improve us each season. And I wanted to create a sports education program. I wanted to create an academy. I wanted to build a club from the bottom up, not the top down. And as I say, it's to get to where we are now is... someone asked me the other day, is it a dream come true? And it's not even a dream come true. It's because most times, you know, it's not really been a dream. It's been something which has been tangible. You could, you know, you can improve each year, even now. You know, if you don't go for us against Tranmere, that's fine. You know, with the young manager, with Luke, we'll start work then the next day. You know, he's already working on the budget for next year. He's already working on his targets for next year. It's just the most amazing feeling. I mean, to be taking, you know, we've got a population born with just on 30,000, and I believe, you know, it may not seem a lot to others, but, you know, we'll end up taking over 4,000, 5,000 to Wembley. I mean, that's 15% of our population will be travelling. We'll be travelling up Wembley Way, and it's and they deserve it. They've been fantastic to me, anyway.
Yeah, you touched on that, on the education programme. I mean, how big is that? I mean, we hear about other clubs setting up their academies, and it is the right way forward, and it's a great way to bring young talent through. But you've gone about it, and you've it's probably the wrong term, but it's a bit like a virus, isn't it? Because you've sort of replicated it and made it stronger all the way around. How many, you know, kids have you got as part of the Boreham Wood setup now?
We've got over 630 kids. You know, these kids are doing A levels, they're doing BTECs, they're doing GYQ courses, drama, art, you know, all the construction courses you can imagine. But we've got fantastic success stories. I mean, my son, Charlie, who I'm out in Washington to see now, he's just graduating. He came through the scheme. You know, he played for England colleges. He won a scholarship to America. I've had a number of kids go to America and you know, and they're doing fantastic for themselves. I've got youngsters like Telly Ruddock and Panzer at places like Luton, who've just been promoted. You know, great kids like Corey Whiteley's now doing great at Ebbsfleet, and Simeon Akinola at Barnet. And, you know, they've all come through our scheme. And, you know, but it's fantastic for them, you know, and we invest in it from the bottom up, and it's important, you know. It's not just about the football; it's very much about the education side of it. It's a sports education program, and the education is more important in a way than the football, because, you know, these kids need lifestyle, you know, or life changing experiences, and they get that with us, you know. And a lot of them come from sort of, you know, difficult backgrounds, and they need all the help they can get. And so now I'm very proud of it.
And you're also building that brand in their mind as well, aren't they? You know, they've got so much from the club as a youngster. You know, hopefully they're going to be supporting you for years, decades to come.
Yeah, because it's real. I mean, you know, you've got a lot of the kids are coming from the estates around, you know, East London, South London, North London, you know, the home counties. And, you know, and it's important, you know, it's important that we, you know, that we can, as I say, we can change lives. I mean, they're going on to universities, a lot of the kids. I mean, you'll even see our, you know, our analyst, Charles, you know, he came through the scheme. He went off to Loughborough University, got his degree, and he's now back as the chief analyst for Luke. We've got another one of our medical department, Liam. He went off and he went and, you know, again, got all his diplomas and everything else, and he's now part of the medical team. So, again, it's fantastic on and off the pitch. And Luke Garrard has helped me, you know, for the last sort of 10, 12 years. We've, you know, he's believed in what we're doing. He was a part-time coach for me when he was playing at Wimbledon. He then went on to become more and more important. He then came through the ranks and became academy director, became assistant manager to Ian Allinson. And then when we went to daytime training and Ian couldn't do it, Luke took over and look at the job he's doing, you know. But it all comes from, like you say, we call it the AD factor, attitude, discipline and desire. And that means a lot to the club, and it's the way the club's been brought up from the moment people walk through the door.
So we've got this big, 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 big game on Saturday, but you're in Washington for
big,
your son's.
There
isn't enough bigs to emphasise it. But you're in Washington for your son's graduation. Life's not fair sometimes, is it?
Yes. No, it's not. But it's but we discussed this. And as I say, you know, I'm taking him out for supper tonight, and you know, his mother's flown out to be here as well, and I'll be getting on a plane on Friday, flying overnight and landing at Heathrow 6:30 in the morning. So I'll have enough time for a shower and a shave and hopefully a quick haircut, and then it's off to Wembley.
And the next chapter in the Danny Hunter autobiography, which has surely got to be written at some point.
The next chapter. Well, I would love to go and do one last film if, you know, I feel there's one last film in me. I'm a property master, or was a property master in the greatest film industry in the world, which is ours. I mean, it's an amazing industry, and it teaches you so much. And I would like to do one last movie, I think. And but for now, we're 90 minutes away from perhaps changing our little town's DNA forever. And Luke and the dressing room are more than capable of causing an upset.
Well, we spoke about the Bromley Boys movie last week, and so maybe this is the week for the Boreham Wood Boys movie. We'll look forward to seeing your appearance at Wembley, Danny, and I hope you have a safe trip home. And thank you for talking to us.
No, thank you. And as you know, if Jerry's out there and he's listening to this, Jerry Dulkerbaum, he's a great friend of mine, and I wish him all the best the week after as well. And hopefully they'll bring the FA Trophy back to Bromley.
Good stuff. Non-league sticking together. I like that. Okay, so if a place in the Football League is a massive prize for a National League club, a place just in the National League is just as massive a prize for clubs aiming for the heights of non-league. In the National North playoffs, league form has shone through, and second place Harrogate Town take on third place finishers Brackley Town in the final. That takes place this Sunday in a 3 p.m. kickoff at Harrogate. One man preparing as assistant manager at Harrogate is Paul Thirlwell, and he joins us on the line now. Good evening, Paul.
Hi, good evening.
Now, it was a close semi-final at home to Chorley last Sunday, and you came from 1-0 down at half-time to win 2-1. How were the nerves ahead of this one this weekend?
Yeah, very similar. It was a really tough game last Sunday. Chorley gave us a real run for our money, and he got an early goal against us on a plane, and then had a man sent off, and we didn't struggle to bring them down, to sort of break them down, but it took longer than we would like, really. And then to win it in the last minute was a greater feeling, and obviously puts us in a fantastic final at home to Brackley.
Yeah, and you know, you've had this week between the games, and obviously being full time at Harrogate, have you just done everything as usual, or have you varied it up a bit because obviously the game being on a Sunday?
Yeah, no, we've done exactly the same thing. We try to give the lads a similar amount of days off, because I don't feel having them in every day is going to benefit them, and you're not going to get them any fitter now at this stage of the season. So we try to do things pretty much identically as last week, and in the hope that they bang up for it again like they were, and we can certainly get the same result.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant way to win a game in the last minute, Paul. But, you know, have you been aware of what that after effect can have of such a high to I'm not saying you need to motivate your players to play this week, but to mentally get them back to the starting blocks?
Yeah, I think that can be difficult, but I think as you can imagine, you get to know your players, and we know the group, and they've been absolutely outstanding to run Salford as close as we did, and constantly keep the pressure on them, and credit to them, they got themselves over the line. But we believe in the group of lads we've got, and yeah, it was a fantastic way to win the game, and everybody was really high. But I think you get signs in training through the course of the week, and they've been bang at it again, so I'm sure they're going to be absolutely fine. And I think the nature of the game and the fact it's going to be a sellout, I think you'd be struggling as a footballer not to be bang up for that again.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. I get beaten two playoffs, so they're not my favourite thing. But I'll put to you as well, as a football man, what's your feelings on, and I don't know if my answer put you off, but what's your genuine feelings on playoffs, on the fact that, you know, you finish second and you have to go through this rigmarole to go up?
Yeah, no, I fully understand. I mean, I'm the same. I've lost the playoffs myself, and yeah, it's not a good feeling. But on the flip side, as I'm told, if you're going to choose a way to guarantee a way going up, everyone said the playoffs is the way you'd want to do it. And I think everybody knows first place is automatic at the beginning of the season, so it's not something we could really complain about. But I do like the new format at our level now, where you are rewarded for finishing second or third. And like us and Brackley, you've got ourselves to the final. Essentially, if you finish second, you've got to win two home games to go up, which doesn't obviously guarantee anything, but it does give you that little extra bonus, if you like, and it puts the ball in your court a little bit more than normally.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with that wholeheartedly. And sort of, you know, the obvious question and the last one for me really is, you know, done your homework, know your opposition. Is any injury issues, any problems that way? Or are you going into it all guns blazing?
Yeah, now we're fine. The squad's the same as it was last week. And like you said, we've given the lads plenty of time to rest. And they had I suppose what you could class as a tougher day yesterday, just to keep the sort of levels up, and then we'll have our normal 2 days before a game in preparation for Blackley. But we know each other that well. I mean, obviously we've played them twice this season and drawn both games, which are both really tight affairs. We know what they're all about, as I'm sure they know what we're all about. So it's going to be all on the day, but I'll certainly back the lads in our dressing room to get the job done, although it'll be a difficult one.
And what about Brackley? They've obviously got one eye on the FA Trophy final the following weekend. Is that can you use that to your advantage at all?
Well, I don't know. Like everything else, it works both ways. I mean, I'm sure they have got one eye on the players, but their manager who's done a great job will be telling them, look, this could be a really historic season for us, gaining promotion, and then going on to win the trophy. So it's going to be a massive season for us if we do it, as it is for them if they do. But nah, again, I think you can talk about it and look for sort of pluses and minuses, but it's about who's going to deliver on the day, and I'm sure they're confident as we are. But I think the last week was obviously a dress rehearsal for what a final would look like, and our boys were great. They played on the front foot from the start, and like we said at the beginning of the interview, we just want more of the same and a little bit of lady luck on your side, and hopefully that'll be enough.
Yeah, and you say about making history. You took on the assistant manager's role early on the season. You've been at the club, obviously, working with the youth, the under-21s, as a player as well. What would it mean to Harrogate Town to get promoted to the National League and be at the top of the non-league pyramid?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be huge. I mean, the club's a fantastic little club. It's ran really well from top to bottom, and the chairman and the gaffer made a real statement last year and going full time, and I think it speaks volumes of the standard of the league, and I think people sometimes maybe outside of it, and maybe me even being one of them before, and they'll actually underestimate the standard of the football that's being played, and for us to reach this stage, this is the furthest the club's ever been, and while we were in the playoffs a couple of years ago and lost at the semi-final stage, it felt a little bit more of a day out, if you like, than what it does now, because if you get to finals, you want to win them. It's not about getting the final and losing and having a pat on the back. You've got to know what that's going to feel like at the end of it if you don't get the job done. And the club's built and ready to move forward, and hopefully that can be in the National League and further, but one step at a time. And we just want to really concentrate on putting what has already been a great season so far to make it an outstanding one by just going that one step further.
And Paul, you know, and obviously we wish you all the very best, but if it doesn't go your way at the weekend, is the club, will they sustain the full-time stuff for next season at the same level? Or was it a jump to try and get you a promotion?
No, that was a plan to make that decision. And that, I mean, obviously the chairman and the manager I'll answer that better than I will, but no, under no circumstances, as far as I'm aware, will the club not be full-time. It's a decision that was made for the benefit of the club to move forward long-term. It was never done as a short fix to try and get promotion. So if the worst happened, no, we'll be devastated for a few days, as you could imagine, but you dust yourself down and you would go again. You look at teams like, obviously, Salford lost in the playoff final last year and went and won the league this year. And that's not a position ourselves or Blackley want to be in, but that's the kind of reaction that the teams need to have in that situation.
Sure.
Well, we wish you well with it, Paul, and
hopefully
you'll be able to bring some of that league experience to bear and help the guys through through that big game. We look forward to looking out for the result on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, thanks for the interview. But yeah, it should be a fantastic day.
Like, yeah, no, good luck.
The fans would be and just to mention the fans as well, who've been absolutely outstanding. And to go from where we were a few years ago to having a full house in there, which will be 3,500, whatever it's going to be, is brilliant. So yeah, fingers crossed. And cheers. We'll get the job done.
David, it is a big game, to get into the National League, but they do sound like they're already set up for it. If they were to get promotion,
yes. I think it's funny when you say. I always say every game's a big game, but I might be wrong when it comes to this part of the season, because these are massive games. You know, it's an all or nothing situation for all the teams involved. You can play poor on the day and be lucky and win. You can be brilliant on the day, be unlucky and lose. You know, it's what makes it. You know, it's the drama of it, and that's why spectators love it, neutrals love it. I'm not sure managers love it or staff love it, but you have to embrace it, because it puts you under the most sort of pressure and stress that you can have, and that's what you're trying to test yourself on. But I would say they've taken I wouldn't say a gamble. They've made the decision to go full time, to give the team the chance of promotion, and they're right on the verge of it, you know. And Brackley, I'm sure, will have a lot to say about it, because, you know, as Paul already said, that there's been nothing between the teams all year when they've come head to head, you know.
Well, if that's a big game, there's another big game in the South as well, and on to the other National League playoff taking place this weekend. In the South, Hampton and Richmond Borough take on Braintree Town in the 3 p.m. Sunday kickoff. That's the fourth place finishers playing the fifth place finishers after Hampton saw off Chelmsford 1-0 last week and Braintree the same at Dartford. And joining us to tell us how he is preparing Hampton for the game is old friend of the show, Alan Dowson, Hampton and Richmond Borough Manager. Good evening, Alan.
Yeah, how are you doing? Yeah, how are you?
Well, I'm fine.
Now,
I best say that, you know, if anybody needs an interpreter, I'll see if I can stick some subtitles out on Twitter, because with your two accents and your two friendship, this could get very scary for people listening in their beds tonight. But
I must just say, Tim, before you speak, Alan. Yeah. He Dice phoned me last week and said, are you going to the game? This is a true story, and he backed me up. He says, are you going to the game? And I actually had a friend over from Belfast. He says, Dice, I'm not going. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on a patio and drink beer all afternoon. And Dice said, well, I'll see how it's going at half time. I might come and join you.
That's a true story. We'll be a kid.
Thankfully, he was okay, and they're in the final. You know, so I just wanted to tell the listeners that, because I nearly crashed the car when he said it. You know,
it was a big game, and it was a great victory over at Chelmsford as well for you, Alan.
I thought we were lucky. Like, I thought the first half we were crap. I thought we didn't do very well at all. We were Mayo's the better side, Mayo's the stronger side. The second half, you get it in that half time a bit. The second half, we've done better. And that's all it was, to be honest. You know, and even today, I see at the club, there's 3,000 tickets nearly sold, and I see all the big occasion. But Dave will tell you, it means absolutely nothing if you don't win a game of football. So, I'm not interested in how many tickets are sold, how many bloody, you know, things are going to go out. You've got to win a game of football. So, that's what I'm concentrating on, because if you let the occasion take over, you play the occasion. You've got to let the game take over, and that's what I've been doing all week, you know.
And was this the aim from the start of the season, to make the playoffs and try and achieve this promotion?
I suppose every manager is the same. You sort of think, at the start, you want to do well, and I've done very well to start with, because I've seen, some of the players are saying, and I'm thinking they're... I think I was fourth bottom after the first six games of the season, so I done pretty well there, didn't I? And afterwards, we done better, and we sort of went on a 12-game winning run, as you do, and we've got ourselves in this position, to be honest. But I feel a little bit. I do, like I say, I thought we were quite fortunate to get through on the other night, but I don't know what happened in the Braintree game. I know we had obviously beat Dartford, which is a fantastic result. But at the end of the game, the playoffs are there. And I don't, you like them when you're in our position, but you don't like them if you are someone like Dartford, obviously, and all that, you know. But the only thing is, at the start of the season, everybody knows the rules. If you know the rules, that's what it is. So anybody can win them. And we're not good, we could win them. But if Braintree beat us, they beat us already. They drew against what whom. So I've got no complaints. If they do beat us, they deserve to go up. If we win, then so be it, because that's what the rules are, you know.
Dave.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you, I've known you a long time, Dice, but you played down your role in this, because effectively you've taken the side that were a mid-table side in the Isthmian Premier and made them a playoff side in National South. And what I'm guessing, how long have you been there tonight, Dice? 5 years?
Three and a half years. No, I think it's three
is
and a half
all?
Years, 4 years.
Yeah, so it's been a good job, you know. So, you know, I would say you've got to be ahead of schedule on what was asked of you.
Yeah, but honestly, thing is, Dave, obviously I know I'll always tell you the truth, like, you know, I just think that if we don't do it this time, we're all miles ahead of schedule. We did take a job, and I took a job, I think, was 6 points bottom in the Raymond Premier when I first took it. And we had our battles, and, you know, obviously with yourself when you had Haver, we did. And, it's one of them where it's never, never, you know, it's one of them for us, because something like the other clubs will come again. I imagine Chelmsford coming again. I imagine, you know, Dartford will come again. You have the Billericays, you have the Dulwiches coming in. I'm trying to be honest, it for us, it's, so, the bottom line, I know everybody says enjoy the occasion, which you've got to do. I understand that. and you've got to enjoy everything what's going on. But I've sort of tried to drum into the players there, but it's one of them where it is never, never. It's our chance, yeah. You know. And Bradley, he'll probably say the same, like, you know, because I just think if you look at it, the two better sides than us two are Chelmsford and Dorford, because they are better. They finished higher after 46 games, and they are better. But if you get that little lucky ticket to go in, we've got to actually make sure you win it, you know.
Yeah, no, I get that, though. So, you know, and honest of you. And I mean, the fact of the home tie, I nearly said that in a Geordie accent there, Dice. The fact
of
the home
well,
tie.
I know you're doing well, you are. I'll tell you, if all these years I've taught you, haven't I?
The home tie, does that benefit you? You'd rather be at home than away?
I think so, because we've only, there's no good line behind the fact we've only lost in the league, we've only lost in the 92nd minute of having to Waterloo, but in the league, we've never lost. So the bottom line is, we've got to see it. Well, it's got to be a bonus. Everybody's down there. I've been there tonight, funny enough, and everybody's down there and buzzing around and selling tickets and fantastic jobs what to do. So I think it's got to be an advantage. I'd rather have it at home and going to their place, to be honest.
Sure. Last one for me, and, you know, please God, you win, and that's nothing against Braintree and the people up there, but we've known each other a long time. Is the club ready for the conference, or for the whatever it's called now, the national, you know, Premier?
It's a difficult one to ask, because I wouldn't know. I'm one of them with a director to my chairman, who's a good lad. Like, it's one of them where I just think, well, even if we're not ready, let's have a go and pretend we are ready and see where it takes us. Because I think with something, as people say, are you ready? Are you not ready? And the honestly thing is, Dave, I just do it now. The only thing I do know, if we do win, I'll probably be on your patio by 8 o'clock on Thursday night, you know?
That's not a problem,
that's job done. Job done.
One last one for me, Alan. If you do get promotion, would you look to compete in that division? Would you look to change the training structure? What they say about full time and things.
No, we couldn't go full time. We couldn't do that. I know the rules. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter if you train twice a week, 5 times a week, how big your budget is, what you got to do. The bottom line is, you've got to win a game of football on a Saturday. And if you're doing, you may as well chuck it in. So the bottom line is, if we did do it, then we try to plan for the next league up in any way we can. But I know as a manager, I would have to win a game on a Saturday. And if we don't do it, I'll have to do exactly the same. So I think that's what the manager is now. You haven't got philosophies about, you know, what's going to happen in the next 5 years, or what's going to happen in the next 2 years, or this. I'll let it win a game on a Saturday, and that's all I've ever tried to do. And I'm not saying I'm good at it, because sometimes I'm not. But at the same time, I knew exactly what I've got to do this weekend, but I'll let it do it the next weekend for the next 40 weeks. It's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah. There'd have to be said, Dice, you're reasonable at it.
Oh, no, I'm married. At the minute, but honestly, if I get up there and I lose the first 6 games of the season, then I'll be on the duel. And it's as simple as that. And I live and die by it, you know. And so, but
yeah, I'm sure I'll find you something at Churchy. I'll find you something at Churchy if it goes like that.
You can open Dave's beers on his patio.
But if I do lose the first 6 games, you know what, you know, well, hold on a minute, Dave, we can have one in hell of a party, can't we, you know?
Yeah, listen, I think you've done a great job. I think it'll be a tight game, because they always are. And, you know, I think you've been honest. As much as we come on and we try and say that, you know, we've done our homework, we've done this, we've done that, nobody knows how the game of football is going to go on any given Saturday, never mind a game like this. So, you know, you can only prepare.
Yeah, you can. Like, I spoke to the lads last night. I spoke to the boys last night, and it's one of them where everything gets caught up in anything. And I got them in the room, and I said, like, listen, it doesn't matter how many complimentary tickets you get, because that's not important. If your families have got to pay, they've got to pay. It doesn't matter what everybody's making the hype of the game. It's going to be a great occasion. There's no great occasion in games like this if you don't win a game. If you win it, it's the best occasion you'll ever live in your life. If you lose it, it's the worst. There's no given to it. Don't get involved in all the crap and all the blinking stuff that goes with it. Go win a game of football, because that's what you're there for. If you do, it'd be fantastic. Can we manage the next league up? I haven't got a clue. I don't think the chairman's got a clue, to be honest. But let's have a go and see if we can, you know?
Well, let's hope it is a good game of football, and we wish you well with it. And it's always fantastic talking to you, Alan, and we appreciate your time. Dave, now, a slightly different approach to management there, and very honest, Alan, and he played down his success, really, hasn't he? I mean, he's done so well there this year.
And everywhere else, you know. I mean, I've come up against them, I don't know, for 20 years, I suppose, and, you know, we... of win, drawn and lost, and but he has continually been successful. And loyal, doesn't jump ship. You know, was at Walton and Hersham for a long time, and, you know, sort of Ned Hampton and sort of, you know, doing well. The Kingston was there for a few years and did okay, and is a manager steeped in. In his honesty, that's all he is. And listen, you get little bits of his humour. He's a great lad to be around. But don't let his humour and his the way he comes across as a joker kid you. He listen, look at his record on paper. It's top drawer.
Yeah, and he mentioned that you know, maybe the players he had in at the start of the season weren't quite up to it. But some of the players he's brought in this season, he's got some a wealth of contacts there as well, and knows his players.
Yeah. Listen, you it's all right. You say the players in the start of the season and they weren't doing it. You have to identify that. You have to identify it. And then you don't sort of walk down the corner shop and go, yeah, I'd like to trade in these two midfielders for two centre forwards. Or, you know, that's not how it works. It's a difficult job. But identifying the problem is massive. And he's always been able to do that. And then he'll admit when he's wrong to himself and his staff, and he'll change it. You know, and I say staff, Martin Taylor's a household name, you know, Sky commentator. But, you know, great knowledge of non-league, you know, and again, the contacts they have between them would help any football club. So we wish them well. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning Bradley at Braintree, who I think Brad went there, was it last year from Enfield? Maybe a year or so. And again, has Bradley Quinton has done a good job there. So, you know, I'm biased because obviously I've known Douse, but you know, people will take heed of what he's doing as a young football manager as well. And he knows me as well, and he knows that he wouldn't expect anything less than me to back someone like Douse, who I've known for a long, long time. But it'll be an edgy game, I think, for a neutral. It could be the one game that might be worth going to see. I don't see it being a 1-0. I think it'll be a, I don't know, 3-2, 3-1. But again, what do I know? Because none of us know what's happened on the day, you know?
Yeah, well, having watched my own side win a playoff final Richmond, it's a great venue as well to watch a game like that, because everybody's so tightly packed in, and you know, you can literally feel the hairs on the other people's backs of their necks as you're watching the game. So
it's a great game, and when you're, you know, I've been there with different clubs. I remember being there with AFC Wimbledon on a night game, and the atmosphere was electric, you know, and it'll be one of them days, you know. And listen, I suppose as neutrals, we have to wish them both the very, very best.
Well, it's been another long hour. It's been a long day, but it's been a great show. Thank you for joining me again, Dave.
My pleasure, Tim. And you know, good luck to everyone that's involved in playoffs over the next week. And I'll speak to you all hopefully when I get back from Spain, where I hope to have some golf.
Well, hopefully you'll be listening to next week's show as well while you're away via iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Audio Boom, of course. And of course, if you had your own website, Mr. Anderson, which maybe you will one day, I don't know, now you're back in the management game, you could put our embeddable player for free on your own website. Check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibba Jabba. J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.